Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is author of our Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. In the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi is, I don't know if he's conscious of closing out the Old Testament. He certainly seems to be. And it's a time when the people are anticipating the coming of the Lord. And that's what Malachi is talking about. But there are those who have feared the Lord who are deeply discouraged. This is not an unusual situation for those who trust in God, who have faith in Jesus Christ. We live at the same time with faith and deep discouragement. And God begins by saying, your words have been hard against me. You say, how have we spoken against you? The Lord says, it's vain to serve God. Sometimes even believers come to that conclusion. It's no use to serve God. And how does God respond? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, November the 21st, we're going to be talking about Christ in the Old Testament today in Malachi chapter 3. Last time we talked with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, we were in the fourth chapter. We were talking about the great day of the Lord. How do these two relate to one another? The Book of Remembrance is written so that God's people might be comforted. And to talk about it, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Last time we were talking about the more familiar passage from Malachi, the coming of the day of the Lord, what it's going to be like. This actually falls before that. How are the two related to one another?
Well, technically in the Hebrew, it's all the same chapter. So one thing, we have this chapter division where we put it into a separate chapter in chapter 4. But it's the continuity of what began in chapter 3, where you have the discussion that the Lord will send his messenger to prepare the way, which is John the Baptizer, and the Lord who is going to be sent, that is going to make everything right, is, of course, the Son, who is called the messenger of the covenant. I mean, this is how Malachi chapter 3 opens up, that the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming. And so this is the coming of the Lord that begins Malachi chapter 3, but with this combination, this kind of this 1-2 punch, if you will, that you have the baptizer coming on the scene first to prepare the way of the Lord, and then you have the Messiah coming. And that's where we were last week when we were talking about the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings, but before that day, Elijah will come to prepare the way.
Refresh your memory. What is that covenant? And, I mean, how would you describe it?
Well, this covenant is that the Lord himself makes a promise to his people. I mean, we go all the way back, of course, to the covenant that he made with Abraham, our father, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, that God has not forgotten this covenant. And so throughout the Old Testament, the testament itself is synonymous with covenant. This is the promise that God makes with his people. Now, in the book of Malachi, you also have a covenant that is made with Aaron. Aaron, of course, the high priest, who is there to be the mediator between God and the people, who then shows us the picture of Christ, who is the true mediator between God and all people. And so you have this covenant with Aaron that the Lord makes, that you have the priest who stands in his presence or before his face. And then, of course, you have this covenant that God makes with the people, which is always, it's all tied together. That this covenant that the Lord makes is that he is coming to be in the midst of his sinful people, that he comes to Abraham to make this promise that Abraham will have a seed, and in this seed all the nations will be blessed. And so it's this constant promise of God of what he declared he will do to make things right. And so you have the messenger of the covenant, of course, being the Son. But you see this throughout, this whole idea of this covenant, that you have, like in Isaiah chapter 42, that the Father is talking to the Son, okay, the one upon whom the Holy Spirit rests, and the Father says to the Son, he says, I will take you by the hand and keep you, and I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. which again ties us back into this chapter in Malachi 3, that he is the covenant that's given to the people. He's the promise that's given to the people of how we are to approach God. And likewise, he's the light to the nations, just like he's the Son of Righteousness who arises with healing in his wings. I mean, you also get this in Isaiah 49, where again the Lord emphasizes this, where the Father speaks to the Son, and he tells the Son that he is going to be the one who will raise up the tribes of Jacob. He will bring back and preserve Israel, and he will be a light for the nations. And again, in that same chapter of Isaiah 49, the Father tells the Son that he is going to be the covenant, that he says, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land. And so we have this whole language of the covenant, of how we approach God by the shed blood, the sacrificial death of Christ. And then in the New Testament, of course, you have this on the night in which our Lord Jesus is betrayed, and he takes the cup, and he says, this is the covenant, the New Testament in my blood. So Jesus himself is the covenant that's given to us, the promise that God gives to us, that we now have access to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit.
So I want to emphasize this because I think it's very important. The covenant isn't just the promise, and it isn't just something that the people were commanded to remember or abide by or something like that, as though it was some kind of agreement. The covenant, even in its promise form, before it is completely fulfilled, is the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to be clear that it's not just an arrangement, that it's a contract, in the sense that we've made a deal with God and we sign our name on the dotted line, and then we have to uphold these things. This is about God acting to bring salvation. So in essence, what we see in Christ is he is the promise incarnate. So God makes a promise to us, and Christ is that promise. He is incarnate. He is the covenant incarnate. So it is the Lord saying, this is how I come to you, the unholy fallen creation, and I come into your presence to make you holy. And I give to you the covenant incarnate, which is Christ himself, his very body and blood, as we see this in the New Testament. I mean, usually we call the second half of the Bible the New Testament, but technically that's not the New Testament. It is the scriptures of the New Testament. So that like back on Mount Sinai, when Moses has the testament at Sinai, and he takes the blood from the sacrificial animal, sprinkles it on the people, and says, this is the blood of the covenant. And then in the New Testament, Jesus takes his blood, for he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and says, this is the blood of the New Testament.
Set the context for us here, because the text as it reads, beginning at verse 13, kind of just picks up in the middle of a longer conversation that God is having with his people. And it's hardly a conversation. It's more of a monologue where God says, you've said this, and they say, where did we say this? And he says, here's how you said it. So it kind of picks up in the middle of that conversation, verse 13, your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. What's come before this?
Yeah, well, the whole book itself is striking because Malachi, the name of the prophet himself, means my messenger. And so what happens in the Old Testament time period is that the priest, the sons of Aaron, are put into an office to fulfill all the requirements of that priestly office, which is to offer the sacrifice. Because by the blood of the Levitical sacrifices, the people of God can approach God, that their sins are covered, that God's holiness is bestowed upon him. And so you have this whole institution of God and his promises with the sacrifices. But every time these Levites try to do things in their own way, they try to speak their own words, they try to instruct in their own opinions, they actually despise the name of the Lord and lead people away from the Lord. And so you have a prophet who comes to bring them back, always bringing them back to the written word. For the prophets, of course, are always pointing back to Moses, the prophet par excellence, the one who gives us the five books of Moses. And so these prophets always speak in continuity with Moses to call us back to the clear and certain voice of Yahweh. And so in Malachi, you have the priests who have gone kind of slack and sloppy in their teaching and in their practice. And so the Lord is conversing through the mouth of Malachi to these Levitical priests, that these Levitical priests are instructing people with their own instruction. And so you have this wonderful passage in chapter 2 that actually is related to this instituted office by God in which the people are to be instructed with God's word to hear of the salvation that he offers and the forgiveness of sins. And so in chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, "For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts." So we've historically always seen this tied to this instituted office by God through which God wants to bestow his means of grace. And so this applies to the pastoral office in our day, that as a man who has been placed into this office is supposed to speak the word of Christ. Because by the word of Christ, this is faith comes from hearing this word. And so this is the instruction, but it's not supposed to be the pastor's instruction. It's not his Torah, but rather it's the Torah of Yahweh. And so the prophets always come to correct this, to rebuke this. And so this is what's happening in chapters 1 and 2. And by the time you get to chapter 3, we talk about another messenger, which will be John the Baptizer. And then he will then prepare the way for the prime prophet, the prophet that Moses said, a prophet like me will rise up and you are to listen to him, which Malachi describes as the messenger of the covenant. And so in chapter 3, it talks about how he will come to his temple, the very place where the Levites are supposed to be serving the people by giving to them the means of grace in the Old Testament. Well, he will come to his people, and what's he going to do? He's going to purify the sons of Levi.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on Christ in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, the Book of Remembrance. We'll get to that on the other side of the break with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. On this Thursday afternoon, we are coming to you live, and you can join us during this break with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google Plus. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback at issuesetc.org.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. Folks, if you appreciate our weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament, mining the Old Testament to find Christ at work there in both promise and deed, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Now, you can make a gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. We're currently about $90,000 short of making budget this year, with about 6 weeks to go in the year. Please help us finish this year in the black, as you, our listeners, have always done for the last 5 years. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2013. Brian, let me get the picture here so we can get into the text and understand who's talking to who and who's saying what and who's being rebuked. The Levites, who were supposed to be God's messengers saying, "Thus saith the Lord," have become messengers of their own message. In other words, they're messengers all right, but they're not saying what the Lord has given them to say.
Yeah, exactly. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, this has been going on since the beginning of time. We still see this, of course, in our day, where you have men placed into this office, and then because of sin that clings to all of us, this sin starts to become prideful and arrogant and starts to say, "I know a better way," or "I know more than the Lord," or Paul, or Isaiah, or Malachi, or whoever it may be, and you start teaching your own instruction. I mean, this is why we've got a bazillion different Christian denominations, because everyone has a new teaching. Everybody gathers a following after them. But the reality is, when they do that, they take the people away from the Lord. They actually despise His holy name. And again, we are taught in the Lord's Prayer that we are to keep the Lord's name holy. Hallowed be thy name. And this is done when we teach His word in its purity and live lives in godliness according to it.
Our text picks up, "Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord." To whom is he speaking there?
Well, these words, of course, you're attacking specifically the teachers, okay? The ones who are teaching this doctrine, this different Torah, their own Torah. I mean, in a similar way, this is what Christ does when he rebukes the Pharisees. He specifically attacks the teaching, the words that are coming from their mouths. Now, of course, then that flows down to those who hear it, of course, because then they chime in and say the same thing. You know, they repeat responsively what they've just been taught into their ears. They put on their own lips. But primarily, the lips and the mouth are supposed to be the priests, who are supposed to be God's lips and God's mouth that declare his praise, proclaiming who he is and what he's done. And so instead of proclaiming God, they're actually proclaiming themselves. And so they're questioning, "Well, how are we doing this? You know, how did we say anything about you?" And so then the Lord actually gives to them examples of their instruction. And so their instruction to the people is such things as, "In vain, it's to serve God is just vanity. You know, what profit is it in keeping his word or walking before him with a face that's downcast?" You know, this is always the theologian of the glory doesn't want to be the theologian of the cross. He always wants to be everything working his way, success, prosperous in a very worldly way. So that you have this teaching which ends on this note that now we call the arrogant blessed, and evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they get away with it.
So how does God respond to that?
Well, see, this is always the way that the law and the gospel works. I mean, the law is going to focus on your actions, my actions, the actions of sinful humanity. And so it reveals what we have done. But then the gospel, what it's going to do is focus on the actions of God, what he does to resolve this and to solve all of these issues we've brought upon ourselves. So what does the Lord do? Well, this is the whole point of sending the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. He's the one that's going to come to the temple. He's going to purify the sons of Levi. He will be the covenant in his blood, which will atone for our sin. And so you go back to Psalm 69, and you see in Psalm 69 where these words are in the mouth of Christ, as Christ is speaking as the Son of David. And specifically 69 verse 9, you have this passage on the lips of Christ that say, "For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me." Now, these are two very interesting passages that are tied together in one verse. The first one about the zeal coming over him and consuming him for the temple, the house of the Lord, is then quoted in the New Testament in John chapter 2, where the apostles look back hindsight and they see when Jesus approaches the temple, what does he do? He turns over all the money changers, all their tables, right? Because he's coming to purify the sons of Levi, and he's visiting his temple, just like Malachi said. And then likewise, the Apostle Paul will quote this same Psalm 69, verse 9, in Romans chapter 15, in which he talks about Christ coming to be of service to us, not to please himself, but instead to take the reproaches that we have put on our lips against God. Those are the insults, those are the scorning, the taunts, as enemies taunt against their enemy. And this is the words that the people speak against God. Now, these words have actually been taken upon Christ. So the reproaches that have been spoken against you have fallen on me. And so what does he do? He goes to the temple to purify it, and then he becomes the true high priest at his temple, and he becomes the true sacrifice for the sins of the world, so that all of our sin is declared to be his sin, and now the one who knew no sin becomes sin and must be put to death.
These people, in verse 16, those who feared the Lord spoke with one another, the Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. What does this mean, those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name?
Well, just like we learn in the catechism from the first commandment, I mean, what does it mean that we shall have no other gods? Well, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so this language of fearing Yahweh is synonymous with being repentant, being in the state of faith, trusting in his promises. In other words, those who continue to walk in his way, that is, hearing his word, walking in the Spirit, walking in the light. That word that the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts to restore it, to renew it, to cleanse it, and of course to give us ears to hear and hearts that believe all these promises. So this is tied in with our passage from last week. Remember, last week we say all the arrogant and the evildoers will be like stubble. They'll be burnt up. But, that good news, but those who fear his name, for them the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. So this is related to that same passage. Those who fear his name are the righteous, those who are righteous by faith. And then so here we have this very special promise about this book of remembrance, so that our names are written in the book of remembrance, which of course takes us all the way back to the book of Revelation, just like last week when we were talking at Revelation chapter 22 about how the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it because the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp is the Lamb, and by his light will the nations walk. Well, just in a few verses later, in verse 27, it says, "And only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life will enter in." Heaven is open because of Christ for all believers. And so we have this wonderful promise of certainty that in Christ there is no condemnation. In Christ we are a new creation, so that in Christ we have been written in his book of life.
With only about 1 minute, How are our names written? How is your name, my name, written in that book with about 30 seconds here, Pastor Ketchelmeyer?
Yeah, 30 seconds. Well, what happens, again, those who fear his name, when we are brought into the faith, called out of the darkness into light, we are called in the waters of holy baptism, where he puts his name upon us, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, okay? There's one name, but there are three that are named. So we're named in the name of the triune God. And when he places his name upon us, we are in the family. We are adopted sons and heirs of the kingdom. The promise is ours.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. And Pastor Ketchelmeyer will be back with us on Saturday morning. He'll actually be wrapping up our live 24-hour Bible study that begins tomorrow morning at 11 Central. We'll talk with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about Psalms of Community Lament. Join us for Issues Etc. 24. You can listen to all 24 hours live, issuesetc.org. Brian, looking forward to that conversation.
So am I, Todd. I'll see you then.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for November is called Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. And if you read it, you'll find out it's really what Jesus does to, like he just said, he has written you into his book. He's the one who does the remembering. He's the one who counts you among those who have been redeemed by his blood. And he's the one who puts himself at the center of your life by his word and by his promise. You can find out more about this great book, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life, by Pastor Heath Curtis, a regular guest here on Issues Etc., at our website, issuesetc.org. Call Concordia Publishing House and order Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. book of the month for November. Tomorrow, it starts at 11 o'clock, folks. 11 o'clock a.m. Central at issuesetc.org, Issues Etc. 24. It is what it sounds like. 24 live hours of Issues Etc. We'll be going all over the Psalms, all the themes in the Psalms, with some of your favorite guests, starting live tomorrow, Friday, November 22nd at 11 a.m. Central. Listen for yourself to Issues Etc. 24 at issuesetc.org.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2013, and we're $90,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2013.
Coming Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 11 in the morning Central Time on November the 22nd through 11 in the morning Central on November 23rd. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.